Welcome to The Joy of Motherhood. This is a podcast that's aimed at the heart of women who love being a mom. Or maybe it's for those of you who wish you were a mom. You're just aching to be a mom, but it hasn't happened to you yet. This is a podcast that's going to be for those of you who are empty nesters. You wish you could do it all over again, and your heart is still turning toward that singular occupation and calling known as motherhood. This is a podcast for those of you who are in the trenches of motherhood. Your daily life is about peanut butter and jelly sandwiches, about potty training, about driver's permits. It seems like you are mired every day in the sludge of what being a mom is all about. This is Carol McLeod, and welcome to The Joy of Motherhood. There is one aspect of podcasts that's particularly frustrating to me. You can't see who's talking. And oh, how I wish you could see my friend, Erica Wiggenhorn. She's all of 5 feet tall. She might weigh 95 pounds soaking wet and is a fireball of energy. Erica is married to a doctor and has two children who fill her days with things like soccer practice and homework and pets and joy. However, Erica's life didn't always look like this. Early in her marriage, she discovered that she would never be able to have biological children, and Erica spent years grieving her empty arms and her empty womb. However, God intervened in Erica's life, and she and her husband have adopted two of the most amazing children you can imagine. You'll want to hear Erica's story about how our loving Father really does work all things together for good. But before we get started with Erica's story, let me just remind you that I love to hear from you. Please send me your mothering questions because I love answering them. As you know, I'm the mother of 5 grown children, and I am now Marmy to the 7 wonders of my world. So in my motherhood journey, you can imagine that I've experienced easy things and hard things and joyful things and frustrating things and discouraging things and memorable things and even forgettable things. Some of the things I've learned the hard way, but I'd love to share my wisdom with you. You can email me at carol@carolmcleodministries.com. And also, before we begin Erica's story, always on The Joy of Motherhood, I like to tell you about one of the books that I've written, because a book is a way I can leave a deposit in your life beyond just 20 or 30 minutes a week. I have written 9 books. My 10th book is coming out in March. And you know what? Every single one of my book has its own particular birth story. And it was usually conceived when I was reading the Bible or spending time with God. Imagine that. And so I want to tell you about a book that I wrote several years ago called No More Ordinary. I was having my daily quiet time. I was reading in John chapter 10, and Jesus was having a conversation with his band of brothers. And they were all young men, probably between 15 and 25 or 28 years old. And Jesus looked at their faces and he said, "Guys, let me tell you why I came." And I thought, oh, this is going to be good. Jesus is about to tell the disciples and me exactly why he came to planet Earth. And he said, "I came so that you could have life and so that you could have it in its fullest measure." And when I looked up that word for life in the Greek, it was not referring to eternal life, but it was referring to life here on Earth, in the temporary world we live in. And I thought to myself, Jesus, if that is why you came, why are so few of us experiencing truly abundant life? And so I dug into my Bible, which I call my treasure chest, to discover what Jesus meant when he said abundant life. And No More Ordinary is the result of that study. One thing you're going to like about No More Ordinary is that every chapter begins with the life story of a person who lived really well in spite of tragedy or disappointment or depression, but you don't know the end of their story until the end of the chapter. So if you like life stories of people, you would love my book, No More Ordinary. And so often people say to me, Carol, are any of your books appropriate for men? Well, not all of them, but No More Ordinary is one of those books that both men and women can dig their teeth into. And as always, you can buy my book, No More Ordinary, at Amazon, at cbd.com, at barnesandnoble.com, or at my website, which is carolmcleodministries.com. And listen, if you do go to Amazon, click on Amazon Smile, because Amazon has made a way for a normal buyer like me or you to have Amazon donate a portion of their sales to the charity of your choice. And you can type in there, CarolMcLeodMinistries.com, and Amazon will actually give me a portion of whatever you buy. You don't pay for it. Amazon does. So that's pretty cool, isn't it? But now it's time for you to eavesdrop on my conversation with the tiny but mighty Erica Wiggenhorn. Hi, this is Carol McLeod, and welcome to The Joy of Motherhood, and we're going to have some fun today. So if you're in a little bit of a down place, listen in, because I have a great guest. She's one of my favorite people in the universe, and she's this little tiny package of wisdom and joy and energy, and she's got a mom story for you. It's not an easy story, but it ends in a victorious, wonderful way, and you're going to want to hear what my friend Erica Wiggenhorn has to say about motherhood. But first of all, welcome to The Joy of Motherhood. I'm your host, Carol McLeod, and this is a podcast that talks about the joy in all ages and stages of being a mom. Listen, if you are dealing with soccer practice and piano lesson and homework that's a mile high, you can have joy in that place. If you have just married off your last one, you can have joy in that place. And if you are still up all night with a screaming baby, there's even joy there, because joy doesn't come from our circumstances. It comes from His presence. It comes from a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. So I'm glad you're listening today. And as always, feel free to email me. My email address is carol@justjoyministries.com. And I'd love to hear from you. I'd especially love to hear your questions. And anything is fair game. You can ask me about the sex talk that you need to have with your kids. You can talk about potty training, about when a child should have a cell phone. But I love hearing from you. So be sure and email me your questions at carol@justjoyministries.com. But now here is my mighty friend, Erica Wiggenhorn. Erica, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you for letting me be here. I'm so excited.
Oh, I am too. We're just grinning at each other. We're so excited to talk about being a mom. But first of all, let me tell you this. Erica is a prolific writer. She's a student of the Word of God. She loves opening the Bible and asking God for revelation knowledge to share with our generation of women. And so she's written several Bible studies, An Unexplainable Life, The Unexplainable Church. And just tell us what those two Bible studies are about, Erica.
Sure. So An Unexplainable Life really comes from the book of Acts. It's Acts 1 through 12. And the thing that struck me in reading the book of Acts is when it talked about how everybody looked at the believers with awe and wonder. These people had unexplainable lives, and people who had not met Jesus yet looked at their lives and they were like, what in the world is going on with these people? Like, their whole lives are so different. And I began to pray and ask God, what would it look like to have an unexplainable life today? It's the person I want to be. I want to be so full of joy that people look at my life and go, what is up with that girl? And so I began to really dive deeply into the book of Acts. And what I realized is one of the things that really robs us of our joy is fear.
Truth.
Fear.
Truth.
And Acts 1 through 12 is really the story of God dealing with Peter and helping him overcome his fear. And we see these moments in Peter's life where he was so courageous in one instant, and then he's hiding in the corner, cowering in fear the next. And truthfully, that describes me a lot. And so I thought, I want to become Peter of 1st and 2nd Peter, where he's bold and he's preaching and God's doing amazing things in and through him. And so I began to really study the book of Acts, and I realized, you know what? Jesus invites all of us to have an unexplainable life if we're really willing to grow our relationship with him.
That's right. He does.
Yeah.
And then the unexplainable church is the rest of the book of Acts. Is that true?
Yes.
Yes.
So it picks up in Acts 13 through 28, and it really focuses on Paul and just the incredible, explosive growth of the kingdom that occurred through Paul and his ministry. And it's an invitation to really step into Paul's sandals and the doubts and the fears that he had, the relationships he had that just blew up in his face and fell apart, and how he just kept following Jesus in the midst of all of that difficulty and turmoil, and invites us to be a part of expanding the kingdom of God in our own neck of the woods. Because the truth is, we all have somebody in our lives who needs Jesus. And if you're like me, Carol, I don't know. This is the Peter in me sometimes, but I can get really intimidated about talking about Jesus to people who don't know him. And so my prayer was, after studying Paul's life, we would become really courageous followers of Jesus and just talk about Jesus like he's one of our friends we hang out with regularly, and start opening conversations and watching the kingdom of God expand in our corner of the world.
Amen. So if you're looking for a great Bible study to do with your Sunday school class or your small group or the girls in your neighborhood, these are some Bible studies you might want to consider. An Unexplainable Life and The Unexplainable Church, both published by Moody.
Yes.
And do they both have a video to go along with them?
Just The Unexplainable Church does.
Okay, so if you like video Bible studies,
yes,
you can get that for The Unexplainable Church. And then the next Bible study that's coming out, An Unexplainable Life.
Yeah, that
right?
One's already out. So next study coming out is Unexplainable Jesus.
The Unexplainable Jesus. Sorry.
Yes.
And so what book of the Bible, what gospel are you focusing on?
So we're focusing on the Gospel of Luke.
Okay.
He's the same guy who wrote Acts. So I kind of feel like I know him now. We're kind of BFFs. We've been hanging out for a while.
For several years.
Luke. Yeah. Yes. But it was really born from my trip to Israel.
Uh-huh.
So when I went to Israel, what I discovered is, man, there's a lot about Jewish life and culture and their religion and their history that I had no idea about.
Right.
And once all of those things came alive to me through that trip over to the Holy Land, I began to think, man, everybody needs to know this stuff. Because I realized how much of what Jesus taught I misunderstood or just missed completely. And I thought, well, okay, how realistic is it for every follower of Jesus to go to Jerusalem? I wish it were so, but probably not, especially you know, young moms and people like that. And so I thought, you know what? I want to bring Jerusalem to them. I want them to experience what I experienced in walking, walking those dusty roads that Jesus walked and standing on the Sea of Galilee and seeing what he saw.
Amen.
I want to bring that to people and encourage them.
That is so good. Well, and when is that Bible study going to come out, Erica?
So that should come out in May.
In May. May of 19.
May of 19.
Perfect. Just in time to get ready for fall Bible studies.
Absolutely.
Yes. Yes. Okay, so Erica, I always like to say to a mom who's on my podcast, so tell me your mom story. We all have a mom story that defines us as a mother. And I know yours has not always been easy.
No.
That you cried a lot of tears. That you went through years and years of disappointment and human pain.
Yes.
Before God gave you a family.
Yes.
So tell us a little bit about your mom's story.
So my mom's story started through infertility and adoption, but I will tell you a funny mom story that if I were to try and describe what motherhood is like for me, I think this story will kind of sum it up. And okay. It'll probably give you a little chuckle too.
Okay.
So our son, who is our second child, has never met a stranger in his life. And we were in line at the supermarket, and Nathan, he probably wasn't even quite 2 years old yet. But there was a man in front of us, and he had a prosthetic leg. And it was very obvious that it was a prosthetic leg, and Nathan had never seen anything like that. Well, because Nathan was bald and very drooly, and he was about as wide as he was tall, he looked very much still like a little baby. And so when he would try and talk, people would just sort of ignore him and not really think he's engaging in conversation with him, because what toddler really does that with a stranger that's an adult? Well, the gentleman standing behind us, and Nathan says, what is that? And he's talking about his leg, you know, And the man is, he's an older gentleman. He doesn't know that Nathan's talking to him, and he doesn't understand what Nathan's asking him. And so Nathan, you know, gets louder, and he's like, why you had that on your leg? You know, and I know what he's saying, and I'm, you know, in my nice mom voice, trying to say, you know, mommy will explain it to you in a minute. Just let her pay for the groceries, you know. Well, Nathan's getting more and more impatient and frustrated that this man is not answering him. And so he begins to reach down into his little baggie of Cheerios, and he starts throwing them at the man to try to get his attention. And now he's saying even louder, why you had that? What is that? Why you had that on your leg? And I'm getting more and more tense because my child is throwing Cheerios at a stranger. And then I go to sign the little, you know, credit card pad. And just when I look back up to turn back towards Nathan, I see him take off his tennis shoe and throw it as hard as he can at the man. And it smacks him right upside the face while Nathan is saying, hey, I talking you. Why you no answering me? And of course, I just wanted to die as a mom that my little toddler has just whacked this man in the head with his tennis shoe, and I apologize profusely and take my groceries out to the car and put them away. But then I sat down and I just had to start laughing, because who could have predicted when we went to the store that morning that that's what Nathan would have done? But then what also struck me, Carol, is I sensed the Lord say to me in that moment, how many times have I sat up here on my throne and said to you, Erica, hey, I'm talking you, why you no answering me? And I think if there's a time that I have done that most of all, it's been in my motherhood, because I've panicked and I've just jumped into a response immediately. I've popped off a response to my kids. I've tried to scheme and manipulate to protect my kids from being hurt, instead of just stepping back and saying, God, this hurts. This is hard. What do I do in this situation? Show me what to do, Lord, and listen to the Lord, instead of taking it all into my own hands and feeling like as a mom, I've got to jump in right away and fix it.
Yeah. Yeah. Because as moms, our emotions are, there's so much on the edge.
Yeah.
Every minute, they're just front and center in our lives, but we have to learn that our emotions don't lead us
into
all truth.
Exactly. Yes. And God is speaking to us in our motherhood. He wants us to do a good job as moms.
Right.
But I think sometimes he's saying, hey, I talking you. Why you no answering me?
I'll never forget that. And I promise not to throw Cheerios at God. I promise. But Erica, so how long had you been married when you found out that you and your husband would not be able to have children biologically?
So when Jonathan and I got married, he was still in school.
Okay.
And so I was working full time. He was trying to finish his schooling. And we were sort of trying, but but not really trying, because it was kind of this fine dance of, well, gosh, you know, I have to work full time. He's in school. He's still working. You know, when is really the best time? You know. So we did the whole, like, let's get a dog first. You know, let's try a puppy, see how that goes. But it was several years that we were married when we started, like, seriously trying. And it was by that point, we were in our late 20s, and we both had pretty stressful jobs. And so when nothing was happening within, you know, the first 9 months or so, our physician said, you know what, let's go ahead and start putting you on some medication and uh-huh. seeing if anything starts to happen. Well, that medication made me crazy. That was not a good plan. I know it was the first step, but I think honestly that made the whole waiting worse, because I was an emotional wreck already, and mm-hmm. all those hormones just made it even more emotional. After we tried that for several months, then I had to go get some physical testing, and that was a little traumatic. And then when they couldn't really figure out what to do from that point, they decided they wanted to do some testing with my husband. And so all in all, I would say we probably went through a good two and a half years before we got a definitive answer, come back and say, you know what, it's just not going to happen for you. You're just not going to have biological children. And, you know, after a long road of grieving, then to just kind of be smacked in the face with definitive grief on top of it, it was hard. It was hard. And I was broken. And
so how many years had gone by?
At this point, close to 3 years.
Close to 3 years.
Yeah.
And then did you and your husband talk immediately about adoption?
So we had always talked about adoption on some level. I had worked as an elementary school teacher, and I had had many students who had been adopted. And so I had rubbed shoulders with adoption in a very positive way. And so we always thought, oh, well, we'll have our family, and then we'll adopt some kids. And, but it was always sort of, you know, the natural thing to do would be to have your biological children. And so we always thought that that was going to be kind of the path that we would take. And then when we realized, no, we're not going to have biological children, we really had to grieve for a time before we started pursuing the adoption route. And the thing that became the most tricky about that, Carol, is my husband and I grieved at different rates.
Oh, uh-huh.
So I was still in the heap on the floor stage, and he had moved past that and past the anger stage to, how are we going to fix this? How are we going to make sense of it? How are we going to move on? He was in that stage. And when I was just still in a heap on the floor, he had a really hard time understanding why I just wanted to stay there for a while. And so that became really difficult in our marriage, because he's trying to fix it and he thinks he's helping me, and he was. But I just wasn't at a place where I could receive that yet. And so we really had to work through some of the timelines of all of that, of when we both felt ready to start taking some of these next steps.
Mm-hmm. But for you two, the next step was adoption.
It was.
And did you do private adoptions? Is that what you did?
So we did. We explored a lot of different avenues. I mean, it's amazing how many different, you know, ways you can adopt in this day and age. You know, we looked at social services. We looked at private adoptions. We looked at Christian adoption agencies. We also looked at embryonic adoption.
Right.
Was called Nightlight Christian Adoptions, or I think now it's called Snowflake.
I think so.
So we looked at all of those things, and we really prayed about it. We actually even had people who were willing to surrogate for us if we wanted to pursue that route as well. And after a time of praying the Lord. Actually, it's a pretty crazy story. My husband took out the phone book and just started looking up adoption agencies. And he happened to find this attorney in our town that did adoptions. And Jonathan called up his office and talked to his paralegal. And his story was he was a marriage and family attorney. However, he had been adopted out of a Catholic orphanage.
Oh.
And so he had a full-time paralegal that did nothing but facilitate adoptions because he wanted to honor his parents' choice of choosing adoption for him, because mm-hmm. he said, I wouldn't be where I am today if I had been raised by my biological family. Uh-huh. I had opportunities that my adopted family only could provide for me. And so he wanted to give back, and mm-hmm. he wanted to help other young women make a choice for life and not abort their babies. And so he actually advertised in abortion clinics. He went to women's shelters, and so he had really turned his adoption story into a ministry, and I felt an instant connection with him and his mission, and from there we sensed that this was the path God was leading us.
So let me ask you this, Erica. Before you held your first baby in your arms, what was Mother's Day like for you?
So Mother's Day was awful. We went to a church, and I don't want to disparage any church that does this because I think it's beautiful, but we went to a church where every year they would give gifts on Mother's Day. And what they would do often is for every child that you had, they would give you that number of red roses. So you would have women walking in with one or three or five. And I always felt, you know, I would walk in and I wouldn't have a rose. And I would look around the sanctuary and I would look at all of these women holding these roses. And it was, you know, a rose is such a thing of beauty.
Mm-hmm.
And it made me feel ugly.
Mm-hmm.
And it made me feel
sorry.
It made me feel unfruitful. It made me feel withered. And,
yes.
You know, it was a tangible picture of everything that I was feeling inside.
Right.
And
that every other woman had it, but not you.
But not me.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it made me feel like there was something wrong with me.
Right.
So.
But let's quickly tell them what God did for you.
Yes.
That now you're the mother of?
Two children.
Yes.
We have a beautiful daughter named Eliana, and her name means the Lord has answered.
And you got her fresh from the hospital, tiny
yes.
newborn baby.
We
yes.
actually, I got to cut the cord.
Oh,
I got
my
to watch
goodness.
Her be born. Yeah,
wow.
It was
were you
really
just
amazing.
Were you
absolutely.
Like, gut, sob, ugly crying?
Yes. Yeah. Oh, yes.
Uh-huh.
I could barely contain myself.
Yes.
And, you know, it's one of those few moments in life where you're just like choked up and like snot crying, but yet grinning at the same time. You know,
like,
you guys got like all these emotions at once.
You're giddy. You want to jump up and down.
Yes.
And get
yes.
on your face.
Yes. And she was mm-hmm. so beautiful. Mm-hmm. So beautiful from the moment she was born. Just so beautiful.
And then was it 2 years later?
Just under 2 years.
That you adopted Nathan.
We adopted our
and
son.
And did you
Nathan.
Get him from straight from the hospital as well?
We did.
You did?
We did.
Oh,
yes.
Wow.
Yes.
Oh, I love hearing that story.
Yeah.
So how old are they now? How old are?
So Eliana is 14 now.
Uh-huh.
And Nathan is 12.
Okay.
Yes.
So as we close it, I love to just ask a couple fun questions.
Yeah.
Okay. If what has been your greatest mistake as a mom? Like what do you wish you could have a do-over on? That you just sort of hit your head and think, what was I thinking?
So my greatest mistake as a mom, I can remember, especially when my kids were little, and even sometimes now, you know, when
yeah.
my kids do something at school that I'm like, oh my goodness. But when my kids were little, I remember, you know, going places with my kids. And when they were not behaving perfectly, I would feel this sense of anxiety rising up within me. And I would want, you know, I would want them to be quieter, or I'd want them to sit more still, or I'd want them not to, you know, be bugging each other and picking at each other in the stroller, or, you know, whatever it was that they were doing. And I look back on those moments now and I think, man, I got so uptight worrying about what everybody else thought, because you know what? They were being kids.
Right.
and it was okay. Uh-huh. And they're not adults, and they don't need to act like adults. And why did I expect them to be so perfect? Everybody who is a mom knows kids misbehave.
Yes.
And it's okay. And we don't have to get so upset about that as a
right,
mom.
Right. Oh, I love it. Oh, well, I hope you've enjoyed hearing Erica's story and just the hope that's in her voice that God has really worked all things together for good in her life.
Amen.
But I'm going to be praying you through the teenage years, Erica, just so you know. You got me. I'm with you. I'm standing with you
oh,
as you
good.
Parent these two great kids through the teenage years. But thank you for joining us today on The Joy of Motherhood. Again, I'd love to hear from you, carol@justjoyministries.com. Take time to drop me a note, ask a question, and I'll see you next time on The Joy of Motherhood. Wow, I hope that Erica's story and her heart and her vulnerability encouraged you that we serve a God who really does answer prayer. Now, I'd love to pray for you, so please feel free to send me an email, carol@carolmcleodministries.com, and tell me how I can pray for you. I have an entire team, a mighty army of prayer warriors who prays for every request that comes in. And mom, I want to remind you, you're important to the kingdom of God at your moment in history. Never doubt it. What concerns you today also concerns your Heavenly Father. Thank you for joining me on The Joy of Motherhood. And I want to tell you, you can do this, mom. You've got what it takes to mother the children you've been given, because He is more than enough.